I come out with open arms, myself, Deacon Mike, and all the staff. We are welcoming you back with an open arm. We do not have, you know, the proper words, adequate words to express the joy in our hearts that we are having you back. You know, we have longed for this day, and today it is a reality. And so we are happy to welcome you back home. The church is your second home. True or false? Yeah. The church is your second home. And so we are happy to have you here. We have looked forward to this day. You know, before now, within this period of COVID-19, when we are all locked out or put in solitary confinement, coming out here to say mass with open pews, though we have your pictures here, but it's not the same as the physical person. You know, and I say, the Lord be with you. And it bounces back to me. And I say, and also with you. You know, that was really very strange. Very, very strange. I mean, weird. I would say weird. You know, but it's so nice to see you around. And when I said, the Lord be with you, also respond, and also with you. That makes me happy. And so myself, Deacon Mike, the staff, we have looked forward to this day. And they are all here this weekend, starting yesterday, that we want to welcome them back. And they're all here again right now, welcoming you back. And you know how they have worked assiduously during all this time to keep you connected with the parish. You know, so I'm really very grateful to all of them. And also grateful to you, because you have your own way of touching, reaching out to us. You know, you gave us all those wonderful encouragement. You know, you lavished us with your praises, and we are very, very grateful to all of you, and happy that we are all back again to our family, our very special family. I know the COVID-19 has actually, the scourge has impacted everybody in one way or the other, positively and negatively. I mean, negative in the sense that, you know, there are so many of these restrictions, or many of the things we used to enjoy, we couldn't have them or reach out to them. And then some of us lost our dear ones, you know, directly or indirectly. And for that, we sympathize with you, and we pray for the repose of their soul. You are in our prayers. We ask the Almighty God to give you all the consolations and the assistance that you need, you know, to be able to bear the loss. So, there are so many other positive things that came with the COVID-19. Many creativity. I mean, I'm part of that. I've experienced that myself. So we say that you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And as Christians, we look at it positively. You know, God has a reason for everything in our lives. So, part of my welcoming you back will be this song that I want to sing for you. Hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Glory be to our God. Hallelujah, joy, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. It is good to be back. Hallelujah, joy, joy. Hallelujah, joy, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Glory be to our God. Hallelujah, joy, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. It is good to be back. Amen. 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 So, I miss you all, and I miss my joke. I want to render one. Four women were at the coffee shop one day bragging about their sons. The first woman said, "Well, you know, my son is a priest, and when he walks through the door, everybody says, hello, father." Then the second woman said, "Really? Is that it? Well, my son is a bishop, and when he walks through the door, everyone says, hello, your excellency." Then the third one said, really? Is that what you want to brag about? Well, my son is cardinal. And when he walks through the door, everyone says, hello, your eminence. Then the fourth woman, you know, sort of slyly smiled and said, well, my son doesn't have a title, but he is tall and so good looking that when he walks through the door, all the women say, or they go, oh God. So I leave you with that. So today we are celebrating the feast of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, which we normally know as Corpus Christi. But the question we are going to ask ourselves here is, why so much emphasis on it, particularly today, when we know that we celebrate it all the time, every time, weekends, weekdays? Why such emphasis? Or is it not the same celebration, the one of those days, those masses, and the one of today? Are they not the one and the same celebration? Of course, they are one and the same celebration. However, whenever we celebrate the Eucharist or the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are not just only commemorating his death and resurrection, but by God's own power, it is made present again to us. It becomes present to us. It becomes alive to us. And then we are there. We are at the scene of those events as they unfold before our eyes for our own spiritual benefits. So the church has put today aside for us to celebrate it for two reasons, or to talk about it for two reasons. One is to praise Jesus Christ for his incomparable gift of himself to us, which we're going to talk more later. Then the second one is to help us Christians to see how decisive the Eucharist is for our spiritual life, both as individuals and as a Christian community. The church knows how deep this Eucharistic mystery really is and how incomprehensible it will always appear to us. And then how faith, the Christian faith, also becomes very critical in this regard. Very, very critical in this regard, because you will recall when Jesus spoke to the crowd or his audience in Capernaum, said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. And they said, what is this saying? What nonsense that we should eat his flesh and blood? But they forgot that God is speaking, that God can make things happen. God can do all things. Even what is impossible in the eyes of men and women can always be possible before God. After all, he created the world out of nothing, just by mere words, by just, proclaiming it. So that is why the need for constant emphasis and also a moment being set aside for us to prayerfully discuss this, reflect on it, and even explain it further, because we need to continue talking about it. Because they say, faith cometh by hearing. Understanding what this great gift of the Eucharist means for us is a cause for praising God and rejoicing today and always. It is indeed a thing of joy and thanksgiving to Almighty God, because God has chosen the Eucharist as a special means for him to be in our midst in a very special and intimate way. Because you receive him an intimate way. Also, God has chosen it to be a channel through which, you know, his love and mercy flows out to us abundantly. Then it is also a way by which he communicates his own life to us more intensely. You know, because the more we open up ourselves to him, well disposed to receive him, the more he fills us with his life. You know, this life is not static. This life continues to grow. That's why Jesus would say, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I mean, just continue growing. They say, good, better, best. So there is always a room for improvement. A backdrop to all of this, and of course, using an analogy, will help us to come to the realization or a better understanding of the central role that this incomparable gift of Jesus is to us. A child in the womb of his mother depends on her life to live and to grow. Even after being born, he or she continues to depend on the mother for a long time. Unless she provides him with food and protection, the child cannot survive. But eventually, the child becomes independent of his mother. The mother may die, but the child continues to live independently. While on the other hand, no creature on earth can and will be independent of God and continue to live, at any stage in life. All of them, plants, animals, human beings, continue to depend on God for their survival. Psalm 104 verse 29 says that very, very eloquently. He said, oh God, when you turn aside from them, they become afraid. And then when you take your breath from them, they die and return to the dust from which they came. Here we are speaking of our natural life. It is a most precious gift of God to us, and we must be very, very grateful to that. Because when you look at the whole anatomy of the human person, you see how God has really made us, how we are wonderfully made and has equipped it. No mother on earth ever put so much love in communicating life to her baby. God did that. However, God loves us so much that not only did he give us our natural life and equipping it, but he also planned to share his divine life with us. He planned that he wants to share his own happiness with us. Unfortunately or fortunately, sin for a while destroyed this loving plan of God for the human person, but did not destroy his natural life. Hence, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to restore that divine life which God has planned for man. I'm just giving you a background to the Eucharist, why the Eucharist is so important for us. Jesus revealed this restoration when he said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John chapter 10, would normally say John 10:10, in order to remember that. Remember that Jesus obtained this goal for man at a high price, that is, through his death and resurrection. You would recall that after his resurrection, in that upper room, Jesus communicated that life, that divine life, first to his apostles when he gave them the Holy Spirit. Remember that they are the foundation stone of the church. He gave them the Holy Spirit and communicated that divine life back to them. Then along the line, through the centuries, he continues to communicate that life to us through baptism. If you remember correctly, we had earlier talked about how every one of us is totally dependent on God for our natural life. However, it is even doubly so for the maintenance of the divine life within us, which we received at baptism. And remember, at baptism, we begin with that baby step. That divine life begins with the baby steps. Then as we move on through life, continue to respond to God's invitation through different sources, through different means, guided by Jesus Christ or founded on Jesus Christ, that life grows to maturity and we become matured Christians. Just as our natural life has to be nourished through the food and drink we partake in, so also the life of the Spirit within us is to be nourished and defended. Sin threatens it all the time. Mind you that this life in the Spirit must not only be maintained, like I said, but also must increase continually. Here is the thing. Only Christ can obtain this for us, and how he longs to make that happen. The first reading of today provides provides best picture of our total dependence on Christ as regards the life in the Spirit. Like the Jews of old, we too were brought out of the house of slavery to sin. Christ brought us out of it through his death on the cross. We too are walking through the desert, which is the desert of this world, towards the promised land of heaven. Spiritually speaking, this world is a dreadful wilderness, a land of fiery serpents, of scorpions, and of thirst. Remember that in our case, it becomes more of those spiritual elements, those spiritual wickedness in high places that are all the time constantly trying to distract our attentions and take us away from following that right path. Left to ourselves, we would not have the least chance of reaching our goal. We would miss the way and get lost. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the, what is the other one? The life. Yes. You know, because devil has his own promise. Devil comes with his own ways. He comes with his own false truth. And these false truths are many. Just go on the internet. You know, you see all of this around you. They're all over the place. It comes with its own false promises. Just like the Jews of old, we are being led by the new Moses, who provides us with food and drink far more superior to the manna and the water which the Jews of old had. Jesus, who is our spiritual food and drink, is our Eucharist. Jesus offers us himself as food in three ways. First, he comes to us as food through faith. We must believe. I know that we have crises of faith. Faith is the first step. That even as we're here, faith is required for us to be able to worship God and be pleasing to him and benefit spiritually from what we are doing. So faith. Jesus comes to us through faith. Then the second one is he comes to us through his word, the scripture. We must read the scripture. We must make the scripture the basis of our life. Build our own personal principles on the word of God. And the third one is that Jesus becomes the body. His body and blood becomes our food. Because when we begin to build up ourselves spiritually, then the food of Jesus that we receive nourishes it and strengthens it and helps it to grow. Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I live in him. We must believe those words. John chapter 6, verse 56. And then further down the line, he says, As I myself draw life from the Father, so whoever eats me will draw life from me. He's talking about this divine life. John chapter 6, verse 57. So these insights suffice to convince us that receiving the Holy Eucharist is a matter of life and death in order to maintain and increase the life in the Spirit within us. We need to know also that nothing brings greater benefits to our spiritual life than to receive the Holy Eucharist worthily. And nothing causes it harm or greater harm than to abstain from it or to receive it without the proper disposition. The proper disposition is important because faith is a necessary aspect of that proper disposition. I suppose we all know too well that there is no greater danger posed to the Christian community than disunion among her members. St. Paul speaks so much about that. No amount or the number of enemies from the outside can destroy the unity of the Christian community except lack of union among members. Jesus knew this danger so well. That is why he has left us his body and blood in the Eucharist, not just to nourish us spiritually, but also to be the best medicine to heal our differences. That is why he said, when you are coming to be part of this holy communion, when you are coming to be part of it, make sure that you don't
come along with baggages that cause division. You know, those things that cause disunity among us. If somebody has offended you or you have offended somebody, go and be reconciled with that person before you come forward so that you can meaningfully and fruitfully take part in this holy communion.